The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Before we start a new hour here, I just want everyone to see this is Russell Wilson's new house in Denver, and it looks gorgeous. It has 4 bedrooms. It has 12 bathrooms. That's a fascinating ratio to me. Is anyone else consumed with 4 bedrooms and 12 bathrooms?
I'm all for the 12 bathrooms.
How big are the bedrooms? Just 4?
I'm taken away aback by
that. Yeah, that ratio is a little off.
Yeah, and like the size of the house, like does that count? Like that should count as a bedroom.
I don't know. I mean, you could probably stick a person in there if you needed to.
Is that a pool in the living room?
A pool.
It's an
indoor pool. You throw a futon over there, you could probably sleep another person or two. And Lord
knows. Does that count as another bathroom?
I just find it fascinating. You got 4 bedrooms, you got 12 bathrooms. Now, I'm all in on as many bathrooms as possible, but that just strikes me as a strange ratio. Anyway, with that thought, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are jam-packed, as always, live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase and Cindy. Here we come. It is time to get up with the spirit of the 76ers. 2 games and all's well as Philly flying all the way to the finals. Meanwhile, can you smell what the chef is cooking? Did Steph prove last night that his is really the team to beat in the West, maybe across the entire NBA? Plus, wait a minute. Did you hear Mr. Mahomes say ta-ta to Tyreek? Does he really believe it himself? We'll answer all those questions as we get up with you starting right now. McNutt, NBA playoff action last night. The Warriors hosting the Nuggets. It's game 2. They were down early, Golden State was, and then they put in that small lineup and they went nuts.
Man, Greeny threw 2 games. That small lineup is a plus 29. They're making basketball look so easy. This ain't fair.
And they make it fun. They not make it easy. They make it easy and fun. That's Jordan Poole. What a revelation he has been in this postseason.
His emergence is incredible. You love his story from the G League. Hard work, tireless, and now he's running alongside these guys.
Yeah, look at that pass. We'll show it to you again. Look at the behind the back here to Clay.
The vision. And just you don't do stuff like that if you're not absolutely confident.
And then here's Steph Curry doing what he does best. Warriors end the half on a 26-8 run, and Mike Malone looks like he needs a vacation. He'll probably get one pretty soon. Our frustration then carries over to the third quarter. We got Will Barton. We got DeMarcus Cousins. They got problems.
Silver lining, Greeny. Some of the most intense locker rooms I've ever been a part of were also my most successful teams. So maybe this sparks something good.
Yeah, we'll see. They're going home and they'll try and get back in this series. But last night they had no answers for that guy. Steph, 3 plus the foul. He scored 34. They were up 20 at the end of the third. And then Nikola Jokic had seen enough. He's looking for a foul call. He doesn't get it. Now he's arguing. Now he's getting thrown out. Draymond Green says, hey, that's usually my shtick here. I'd say goodbye to the Joker. Steph had 34. Poole had 29. Warriors are up 2-0. And Steph says, it is good to be back.
It was a long four and a half weeks. And obviously game 1 was a goal. And a lot of hard work went into it. To be in this moment, this environment after 2 years absence from the playoffs, it means a lot.
When you beat a team the way we did, the first game, they come out and they give you their best punch. And they did that. You know, we took the punch on the chin. We responded right away. We got control of the game. You know, just to see our group respond the way they did, that's special.
All right, so of course they legendarily used to call this the death lineup, and now they've got a modern, you know, a new version of it, if you will. Steph, Poole, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins. They've outscored the Nuggets by 29 points in 11 minutes over their first 2 games. They're shooting 77% from the floor, 87% from 3. They're getting 4 points a minute when that group is on the floor. And again, Monica's here. My uncle Seth, no relation, Seth Greenberg, is here. Let's talk about it, Seth. If you're a coach, you have to just love it, because when they invented the game of basketball, what they had in mind was a lot of passing until somebody was open, and teams have, generally speaking, stopped doing that. Well, the Warriors continue to do it, and they look great doing it.
They play differently than anyone in the NBA. And you think about it, they're not pick and roll centric. They're screening, passing, cutting centric. They've got 4 gamers all over the floor. 52 points yesterday off of screens, ball movement, people movement. And all of a sudden, when ball's moving and people's moving, all of a sudden, they're hard to match up. And their identity, they just impose their identity on the game. You cannot match up with them. They're a tough matchup moving forward as well.
McNutt, help me with that. When they're spacing the floor the way they can, what are you going to do with them?
Say your prayers. Because quite honestly, I mean, I think the matchup part is something that we can't overlook in this one, Coach Seth, and you're right. This is a terrible matchup for the Nuggets flat out. I mean, Nikola Jokic, while he's had a tremendous year, the conversation about why he was so impressive is because he was essentially working with a depleted roster minus Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So I don't think that we should forget about that. However, the system, the framework, what the Warriors did when they were on their dynasty run of consecutive championships, it looks to be back in form. I do think, though, if they run into a Memphis Grizzlies squad, they are a little bit better constructed to match up with the speed, the quickness, and the motion.
Yeah, that would be a second round matchup, the two versus the three. But, of course, Memphis is down 1-0 in their series with Minnesota. Help me with it, Seth, as we forecast out now for Steph and company, the Warriors. At the beginning of the season, it feels like a very long time ago, but at the beginning of the season, when they were healthy, they were the best team in the NBA, not Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And then they started getting injured, and Phoenix just surpassed everybody. But do they now look like they've got championship stuff to you?
They got championship pedigree. They got championship identity. They have championship shot makers. Now, look, Phoenix plays as well as any team in the country. I was in the NBA. And you think about why Chris Paul, Devin Booker, they've got playmakers and shot makers. But another team that's hard to match up against. You talk about Golden State. You can't match up with them. That small lineup, you can't match up. The speed they change ends, their ability to pass, their ability to cut, the number of shot makers and floor gamers they have on the floor. If they can make a team like the Suns match up with them, it's a problem. That's just the way it is. Now, the Suns have guys that can make plays, make shots, obviously down in clutch time. Chris Paul's been absolutely terrific. But Golden State, who do you give? What do you give and what do you take away? Let me ask Monica, who do you give and what do you take away? Because you know what? There's not a lot of guys that you can play off of. You've got to defend every single guy on the floor, which makes him almost impossible to game plan for. And no one else is playing like them.
Honestly, all right, so I got to deal with Steph. Or you're Steph. Steph is primary number one. I don't know that Jordan Poole maintains this efficient of a scout of a performance the rest of the way. So I think the conversation about will they beat Phoenix or not, like, do I expect that to be the Eastern Conference Finals? The Western Conference Finals is absolutely fathomable, but I still give a slight edge to Phoenix in terms of a team that has a little bit more size. How do you beat a small lineup? You play with some size and take advantage of that. I think DeAndre Ayton has made leaps.
All right, we will get there, hopefully, and a lot of people would like to see it anyway, that matchup, but that is still several weeks away. We'll see if we get there. All right, in the meantime, I want to get back to this because yesterday we showed you this cryptic tweet from Tom Brady. All right, he put it out on Sunday. He just put out, you know, the eyes emoji, and he tagged Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. You knew it was something, and it turns out it is, that they will be playing a golf match together, a charity match in Vegas, June 1st, Brady and Rodgers versus Allen and Mahomes. And yesterday, Mahomes was talking about going up against the old guns.
Oh, man, I think the reason we're going to win is because we're going to be able to play the course a little differently than old Tom and old Aaron over there. So they're going to be playing it nice and easy. You know, they might get us on a couple par threes and stuff like that. But whenever we can really open it up and use the drivers, it's going to be nice to be able to use our little wedges while they're using their six irons. So that'll help us a little bit.
All right, they're trash talking. I mean, look at Tom Brady. Whoever does his social media, whatever they're paying that person, it's not enough. As you see him there taking a little shot at Josh Allen and all the rest of that. Now, I don't know. We saw Rodgers and Brady go head-to-head in golf last year with Mickelson and DeChambeau. That's no contest. I mean, Rodgers is infinitely better than Brady. I don't know much about the golf games of Mahomes and Allen.
Mahomes is good.
Okay.
I've seen him many times.
He's generally good at everything. But the golf piece of this is probably only interesting to me. In the meantime, let's get to they're maybe the four best quarterbacks in the sport. They're certainly right there. Which one wins the Super Bowl next year? I'm being told that we're having some trouble with Diana's mic. So, Diana, we will come back to you if we can. And, Lewis, I'll come to you. Which of these four, if you had to pick what will win the Super Bowl this coming year?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But, look, I'm going to go with Josh Allen because of the fact that there's a lot of continuity still within this organization. There's a lot of continuity on the offensive side of the ball. Look, I know Brian Daboll is no longer there. Ken Dorsey assumes that role as the primary play caller. But, look, I think Josh has shown you that he's willing to do the work every offseason to take his game to higher and higher levels. to where now the cerebral part of his game is catching up with the physical aspect, and that just makes them a very, very dangerous offense, a very, very dangerous team overall. And I think defensively they'll have a better performance in the playoffs this year that will propel them to the point where I believe that they will be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl.
Mike T, how about you? Which one of these four, well, you got the two legends and you got the two young stars, who you like this year?
Tampa Bay. They have a really good new head coach in Todd Bowles. They have the best defense of the four teams. And Tom Brady, despite his age, Greeny, is still playing at an incredibly high level. So they're the most complete team. And I'm super intrigued by what Todd Bowles does to this team, taking nothing away from Bruce Arians. I think this team becomes more disciplined and more aggressive on defense. And I just think they're going to be, of these four teams, the most complete come down the stretch.
Yeah, I would actually, I'm sort of splitting the difference. I'm going to take Tom Brady because primarily I think the NFC is just a much easier path. I think Buffalo has the best team. I think Josh Allen right this minute might be the best player. But he's got to get through murderer's row there in the AFC. The NFC is comparatively a much easier path. Plus, picking against Tom Brady as a general rule has proved to be a bad idea. We'll get Diana back in here a moment. They're working on her microphone. But I can tell you she picked Josh Allen. So we go 2-2. We'll see how it works out. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes will keep an eye on that and use that screenshot as motivation. In the meantime, another quarterback who needs some motivation. Baker Mayfield's career at a crossroads. One of our group will tell you why he'd rather have an unproven rookie than the soon-to-be former Browns quarterback. Plus, the Celtics absolutely swarmed KD in their Game 1 win. Are the Nets already in trouble? We'll answer that question as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and the big question the teams that need a quarterback will have to answer is, do we draft one, or do we consider making a trade for Baker Mayfield? Let me ask some of those to Louis Riddick. Louis, if you had the options, would you trade for Baker Mayfield or draft Malik Willis?
I would go with Malik Willis, especially if I had confidence in the fact that I had a lot of things, you know, set up in order for him to succeed in terms of the coaching staff and in terms of supporting cast around him, the offensive line, some weapons on the perimeter, a good solid defense. I for sure would bet on Malik Willis's upside and his playmaking ability.
The next one would be Kenny Pickett. That's your guy from Pitt. Would you rather trade for Mayfield or take Pickett?
I would rather take Kenny Pickett simply because, look, I don't necessarily feel as though everything needs to be set for Kenny Pickett in order for him to succeed. I think this is a guy who has a tremendously high football IQ, has played football at a very high level in a pro-style type of offense at the University of Pittsburgh. He only threw for 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, broke all of Dan Marino's records. I know much has been made about his hand size, but this kid is going to be a winner. He is going to be a baller right from the get-go. So I would go with Kenny Pickett in that scenario.
And then one more for you. Baker Mayfield or Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati?
Yeah, this one's a little closer for me because of the fact that there's some issues with Desmond Ridder's game as far as accuracy, particularly when throwing to his right side, that I just had some issues with it, that he seemed a little bit robotic to me in some instances here down the stretch in 2021 season there for the University of Cincinnati. And that's not to take anything away from him. I think he will be a good player in due time. I think in that case, I may be a little bit more inclined to go with Baker Mayfield, provided that, again, Baker is willing to make some of the adjustments that he needs to make in terms of his leadership style and his ability to really ingratiate himself with the organization and with the locker room in particular.
All right, so as these decisions are being made, we bring in two more people who know a little something about it. Obviously, Mike T. with us all day, and the man who invented the draft is Mel Kiper Jr., who is with us here. And we brought up three names in that, Mel, which are Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, and Desmond Ridder. Those two, along with Matt Corral and maybe Sam Howell, and a name that I keep bringing up is Carson Strong, is a name to sort of remember in all this. Those are the top echelon quarterbacks in this year's draft, a class that I think we all acknowledge is not as strong as last year's and many other. So how do you see Baker Mayfield in the scheme of this, Mel? You're aware that teams have that decision. It's almost like another option on their draft board, if you will. How do you slot Mayfield into this decision?
The money was with Mike Tannenbaum. We'll talk about how that complicates matters. Lewis is obviously either not high at all on Baker or loves the young quarterback. So I get where Lewis is coming from, but I'll go with the known over the unknown. I'll go with Baker Mayfield. He's only 20, just turned 27 years of age. He's had success in the NFL. Had a great year 2 years ago when everything around him was clicking. He was out there performing at a high level. Led his team to the first playoff victory on the road since I was 9 years old. Okay, I'm going to be 62 in July. Do the math on that. I think when you look at Baker, a highly motivated kid. I think people are looking at him negatively. I think it's a little bit unrealistic. It's unforgiving. It's unreasonable, in my opinion, considering the offensive line issues, the wide receiver issues, the running back issues, and the injuries that he played through. So we're going to rip a guy for playing through an injury, a significant injury, playing through all that pain. This kid was a warrior, yet we're going to rip him for that and say, let's kick him to the curb. I like Baker Mayfield, the right system. I think he's the right kid for that. And at 27, just turning 27, I would much rather have Baker Mayfield.
Gentlemen, Mike Tinkerhead, I see you shaking your head vigorously. Go.
Yeah, here's what I know, that by NFL standards, Baker Mayfield is too small, too short, and he bloviates on social media. I'd rather have guys like Malik Willis, who is taller than Baker Mayfield, faster, and we know that he has an unlimited ceiling. He's also $18 million a year cheaper than what you have to pay Baker Mayfield. Kenny Pickett, I know he has the 27 fumbles, but I'll take his upside as well. So maybe Desmond Ridder, I agree with Lewis, maybe that's the inflection point. I can't win a championship with Baker Mayfield. By NFL standards, he's slow and short. He ran 4.85, and that's why he gets hurt. These other guys, to me, have intriguing upsides athletically and from an intangible standpoint. There's a reason 31 other teams don't want Baker Mayfield right now.
Mel?
Well, the money has a lot to do with that, Mike. I think you look at, you said about what Baker Mayfield didn't do. What he did do was almost take his team to a Super Bowl 2 years ago and put up great numbers. He's proven all the things you said aren't applicable to him, that he's done the job already. Malik Willis threw three interceptions against Middle Tennessee State and also Louisiana Monroe in back-to-back weeks. Kenny Pickett will have the smallest hand of any quarterback in the NFL. So I think you look at Baker Mayfield for the negatives. He's already done it against the best in the world, and he's proven he can play at a high level and almost have his team in a Super Bowl. So when you have a guy already has done it and overcome some of the things you said, Mike, these other guys have not overcome that. And Malik Willis struggled the second half of the season against inferior opposition. And like I say, Kenny Pickett is going to wear two gloves. He's going to have the smallest hand of any quarterback in the NFL.
Lewis?
I think, you know what, though? Look, you know, and I get your point, Mel, but we're projecting future, you know, future performance here is really what it's all about in the NFL. And look, I understand what Baker has done in his past. It's about what he's going to do in his future. I am not someone who's going to bash him based off of him playing through injury and how that affected his performance last year. I saw it firsthand, talked to him about it. I know how it affected him, for sure. What really bothers me about Baker Mayfield is whether or not, or rather the big concern or the big question I have about him is whether or not he really does have the requisite awareness as to just how he does come off and the importance of how he comes off to the rest of his football team and how that really can affect negatively everything that's going on around him. I'm not saying everything in Cleveland was set up in order for him to succeed either. I know that that is not necessarily a place that is synonymous with being a culture that is conducive to winning and winning on a consistent basis at a high level. Maybe it will be in the future, but I don't think it is yet right now, and I'm not blaming that all on Baker Mayfield for sure. As a matter of fact, I've been one of the people who has said I would bring him in and talk to him. I would want to have the conversation about how he needs to adjust his personal conduct, particularly as far as how much he talks on social media and how negatively that can impact everyone around him. I don't think he's a throwaway in any way, shape, or form. But if I'm someone who is right now early in my program build, and I'm someone who I feel as though we are on the up on this upswing, I'm going with one of these two young quarterbacks, despite the fact that they are unproven commodities, and some of them, especially in the case of Malik Willis's, in terms of Malik Willis, have had let's just say, uneven performances in their college career against less than stellar competition. I'm still willing to bet on the upside, bet on my program, bet on my developmental program as far as getting these guys ready to go and getting them to play at a high level in a short amount of time. Now, like Mike said also, look, when it comes to Desmond Ridder, I think that's a little bit of a toss-up. I think there I might go ahead and go with Baker Mayfield, especially if I feel comfortable with the lack, or rather with the level of awareness that he hopefully will show in terms of what he needs to change about himself and his conduct.
Oh, so I got like 2 minutes left here. Let me get a different question in. And you're all getting a sense of what our production calls are like, by the way, as we prepare for the draft. Lewis and Mel just yelling at each other. It's endlessly entertaining. We should put those on YouTube. But Mel, right now, take Mayfield out of the conversation. If you had, you desperately needed a quarterback and you have the pick that can get one, which of the quarterbacks in this draft do you take? Who's QB1 for you personally?
Malik Willis. The talent is undeniable. The attitude, the character is off the charts. I'm with Lewis on that and Mike Tannenbaum on that as well. Malik Willis, to me, despite the struggles in the second half of the season at Liberty against those weaker opponents, he has the ability to be a guy, a dual-threat quarterback that will scare teams. I talked to a GM and said, you know, which quarterback coming into a division would scare you, or that you don't want to come into your division? There's only one. That's Malik Willis. The other guys aren't going to scare anybody. Other organizations are saying, oh, we got to be careful now. Oh, daggone, he came into our division. The only guy will make them say, daggone it, why didn't he go somewhere else, is Malik Willis.
QB1, quickly, Lewis, who would be for you?
Look, I know it's going to sound like a homer pick, but I'm just a big believer in Kenny Pickett. I'm a big believer in how he is wired. I'm a big believer in the production that he had this past year, in the type of offense that he had it in. And I think he is someone who is going to get better in the NFL, provided everything else around him also continues to get better. I just think he's one of those guys that is going to play high-level winning football.
Mike T, how about you?
I'm going Pickett. His athleticism in the pocket is somewhat underrated. And he's just a bigger frame than Malik Willis. And over time, in our sport, at our level, the bigger man wins over the smaller guy. So taking nothing away from Malik Willis, I think Kenny Pickett has a higher floor and a slightly higher ceiling.
All right, those, I think, are the two names that we are pretty much assured of hearing on night one, round one of the draft. We'll see if there are any others. Outstanding, as always. Mel, we'll talk to you later. Thank you, as always, for jumping in here, and we'll catch up later in the day. In the meantime, the Sixers have answered the bell so far in their first round series. How high-flying could Philly be? Could it be all the way to the finals? Jalen will join us to answer that question and this one. Sneaky Hembo, who leads the NBA in made threes since the All-Star break, including the playoffs? The answer might surprise you. See if Jalen gets it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, let me just say in advance, I love this question. As the great Jalen Rose joins us, and there's nothing he loves more than Sneaky Hembo. Jay, who leads the NBA in threes, made threes, since the All-Star break, including the playoffs?
Tricky, tricky. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, I'm going to go with Jordan Poole.
Oh, he got it right. He got it right. I can't believe it. Oh, that's Hembo was positive.
Hail to the victors, baby. Hail to the victors. You know, Jordan, I'm watching my Michigan Wolverines up close, Hembo.
That's exactly right. Jordan Poole has made the most threes of any player in the league, and he had a bunch of them last night. Let me quickly run the floor for those of you just getting up and joining us here, and then we'll talk about it. The Warriors beat the Nuggets by 20 to open up a 2-0 lead in that series. Steph came off the bench again and scored 34 points in 23 minutes. The aforementioned Jordan Poole had 29. Jokic got thrown out of the game in the fourth quarter with two tees. But Golden State's up 2-0, and they look great. Game three is Thursday in Denver. In other action last night, no Luka, no problem for Dallas. They beat the Jazz by 6 to even that series at a game apiece. Jalen Rose loves Jalen Brunson, who scored 41 points without a turnover to become the first player in Mavericks history to ever do that in a playoff game. Game three of that series will also be Thursday. And then the Sixers, another dominating performance. Last night was Embiid's night. He had 31 points and 11 rebounds. Tyrese Maxey continues to be outstanding. He had 23 after scoring 38 in game one. So Philly's got a 2-0 lead in that series, and it's a quick turnaround. They go right to Toronto to continue. So, Jalen, let's slow down here and talk a little. Let's start with that one. So all last week, you and me and Wilbon and Stephen A., we were consternating about the 76ers. Through two games, have they answered every question you had?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
They're answering the question so far to the test that they have, and that's the Toronto Raptors, a team that they should beat, that's dealing with some injuries. And also, you got to give credit to the dominance of Joel Embiid being an anchor, being someone that has been healthy this year, put himself in an MVP conversation. And once he's going to dominate the way he's been dominating in the paint, scoring, rebounding, blocking shots, just being physical, just being a beast, now it opens it up for everybody else. In game one, Tobias Harris got going. And Maxey has been fantastic, scoring the ball in the half court, in transition, giving them speed, giving them shooting. And here's something that Maxey also gives the Philadelphia 76ers. Personality. He has a young smile, right? He's an infectious personality. And on a team full of competitive individuals, and you see James Harden, he got the beard, he's all grizzled. You never truly see him smile. And Joel Embiid, he got the scowl. You need that baby face assassin type guy to make everything go. And I appreciate how Maxey's been playing so very well. It's unfortunate for the Toronto Raptors, again, that they're dealing with injuries. I thought this would be a long series, especially since Thibault can't play in Toronto. But so many injuries for the Raptors. If the Sixers are really focused, Greeny, to answer your actual question, they'll get this over in 5. We'll see.
And let me ask you one more on that one. I have a million places I want to go with you. But Jay Will was in here earlier saying this version of Harden actually makes the Sixers incredibly dangerous. The hockey assist guy, he still makes people have to worry about him, but not being a volume scorer, not dribbling the air out of the ball, but actually sharing it, that this version of Harden is what the Sixers need. You look skeptical to me, Jay.
I'm gonna text my brother Jay Will. He's so very handsome, a great dad, a great husband, a terrific analyst. Harden scoring 14 is never the best version. Let's just make sure we're on the same page. Harden scoring 14 is never the best version. If this is going to be the Harden version we get next round, then Philadelphia be in trouble. But I want to celebrate them right now. Let's celebrate how they're playing against the Raptors, a team that they're going to advance past. But I just want to warn everybody, including my brother Jay Will, if you think this James Harden is going to get them out of the second round, you haven't been watching the Eastern Conference.
I will say, I've come to know this. When Jalen leads with how handsome you are, he's about to disagree with you. Okay, next. Let me get to the Warriors. Steph scored 34 points in 23 minutes last night, Jalen. What have they shown us in two games?
The Golden State Warriors have shown us that I can't wait for them to be on a collision course with the Phoenix Suns. And this is where organizational leadership, Bob Myers as the GM, and Steve Kerr as the head coach, I want to make sure I give them all of the credit they deserve, and here's why. Steph Curry's initial injury when he got drafted, when my brother Mark Jackson was their coach, allowed them to build out their roster because he didn't take up a big salary slot with his rookie deal. Klay Thompson being injured in back-to-back seasons after losing Kevin Durant allowed them to develop within, acquire Wiggins, develop Poole, draft Kuminga, draft Wiseman, and now all of a sudden they have depth. You have Anderson. You have Payton II. And now you have a deep squad. The Golden State Warriors used to be strength in numbers. And then they added KD, and it was Splash Brothers, Draymond, and KD, and rightfully so. But now they have depth. And Jordan Poole, he doesn't just score the ball and look like the third Splash Brother. He's a terrific offensive weapon, Greeny. You see him between the legs, behind the back, dropping dimes, shooting the three, finishing at the hoop. And his personality also, like I said about Maxey, is infectious. His points don't just happen on the box score. They're loud. Every time he scores, like, ooh, that was nasty. And now they respect his development so much that they're bringing Steph Curry off the bench. And Steph Curry, like, cool, I'm still going to get my buckets. So now you bring him in. He's inspired. He's motivated. And the death lineup part two, a guy that I haven't mentioned yet. Did y'all realize that Andrew Wiggins started in this year's All-Star game?
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second. When I talk about the Golden State Warriors, Andrew Wiggins started in this year's All-Star game. So when you have the death lineup part two with Draymond at the five, with Wiggins, Poole, and the Splash Brothers, they've been virtually unbeatable. But I have to say something about the depleted Denver Nuggets. And the Joker has done a terrific job of carrying this team, in particular without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. I was disappointed in how he got ejected, Greeny. And you know, I've been on this show for years, hearting the Joker. That stretch mark five, that's my guy. You remember 3 years ago, I told Stephen A. on this show that the Nuggets would have a better record than the Lakers then. I don't appreciate them checking out of the game like that. Draymond Green has done a terrific job of defending him. So has Looney. And yes, the Golden State Warriors are a better basketball team. But I need my big fella to stay in the game and continue to find a way to lead his team, not get ejected when they're getting beat.
We'll see. They get game three coming up on Thursday night. Right, one more for you here. So Nets Celtics, you can't ask for any more than they gave us in game one. Give me the one adjustment you're going to make if you're the Nets to get Kevin Durant an opportunity to get freed up. They were all over him. They were in his body on Sunday, and it really made a difference. What's the adjustment?
Absolutely. Here's the adjustment. So the Celtics had four players score at least 20. The Nets had four players score in double figures. And Kevin Durant struggled, and they only lost by 1 point. So the adjustment is get Kevin Durant on the move. You got these big bodies bumping. Look at how they're being physical with KD. Look at him pushing him off his spot, Greeny. You see Williams pushing him off his spot. You see Horford pushing him off his spot. You see the quick hands by Theis stealing the ball. Jaylen Brown blocking his shot. You got to get KD down screen, elbow, curl, jump shot, pump fake, get into the lane and get him going. But here's what I'll warn the Boston Celtics that they already know. I play with Ime Udoka because I know he knows this. Kevin Durant is going to go crazy in game two. Kevin Durant is going to go crazy in game two. Kyrie Irving was dynamic in game one. But when they ran that double team at him late, he got confused a little bit, over-dribbled, threw it to KD late, and he got this low percentage shot. KD now is going to come out and be so very uber-aggressive at the beginning of the game. That's going to be the biggest factor, how aggressive KD is to start the game. And the other thing I want to say, for the Nets, when you're winning a basketball game late, and it's like a two-possession game, you can't just let Jaylen Brown waltz in and take a layup. That was the play, really, that cost them. Because now Jaylen Brown was confident. Think about it. His nose was all bloody. He had gouges all in his nose. But after he scored that first one, Greeny, he was confident. So now when they got it late, he was like, I'm about to take this little guy again. And that ended up leading to the game-winning shot. This series is dynamic. I'm really excited to watch it.
And we will see you here Thursday morning. Jalen on his way back to New York later this week. We'll have him in studio. You're the best, Jay. And he got Hembo today.
Yes,
so there's going to be no living with him the rest of the day. Jalen Rose,
J&J,
coming up
Big
later
Daddy.
Today. Coming up, star wide receivers across the league are demanding new deals. Could it lead to another flurry of trades? We'll talk about it next. Back on Get Up. Wake up call. Freddie Freeman against his old team. His first bat against the Braves. Here's Joe Davis, Spectrum Sportsnet LA.
Slices one deep left center field. Freddie Freeman hits his first home run as a Dodger in his first at bat against the Braves. How do you like me now? 1-0 Dodgers. Here come the Freddie chants.
How about that against his former team? All right, Diana Russini, let's run the hurry up. There's a lot of receiver news around the NFL. What's going on, starting with Terry McLaurin?
Now let's go with Terry McLaurin. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for this receiver, and he wants an extension, and you can argue deservingly so. Think about all the inconsistency at that quarterback position, yet he's still such a high performer, a leader in the locker room, on the field, off the field. And I was told both sides right now have yet to really, truly engage on the extension, but I was told that the Commanders, they want to keep Terry on his team. Then we've got Ryan Tannehill right there thrown to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, another receiver looking for that extension. I was told both sides are actually working towards an extension and keeping A.J. Brown a Tennessee Titan. We know how important he's become part of that offense, along with obviously running back Derrick Henry. So we'll see if they'll be able to get that done before the start of OTAs, and I was told it's looking good. And then finally, you got Debo Samuel, who's been very public about how much he loves playing for Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has always been very public about how much he loves Debo. They've got a really close relationship. But you know what? Don't tell me you love me. You got to show me you love me. And you know how you show guys? You pay them. And Debo is looking for that wide receiver money that we're seeing all offseason here. All the top guys are getting it. These three are looking to get paid. And probably the most important factor at this point, at least an important point to make, that all three of these organizations, San Francisco 49ers, Tennessee Titans, and the Washington Commanders, I was told, are not open to trading these guys at this point, Mike.
Okay, so I don't start taking these things seriously.
Okay.
Until they start scrubbing social media.
I see that.
Have these players taken the teams they currently play for off of their social media?
I can't believe I went to journalism school to answer this question. And the thing is, two out of the three of them have scrubbed them. I know this is very important. So Debo Samuel has scrubbed the Niners. And A.J. Brown got rid of the word Tennessee from his Twitter handle. So very big breaking news.
Well, but that's when it really matters. I mean, the truth of the matter, that's the way these players express
their feelings. And the thing is, it's just like any relationship. You look at it and you go, you don't exist to me until I get what I want. When my husband and I were dating, he wasn't proposing. It took too long. You know what I did? Deleted him. Guess what I got? The ring.
Okay, there you go. So now we understand this is the way we do business in 2022. So now this thing gets interestinger and interestinger. So, Louis Riddick, Mike T, I'll start with you. You keep talking about scouring, right? Every time we bring up wide receivers, you use that word, I'm scouring. If you're a team that needs a wide receiver right now, does your scouring include calling up those teams and asking about Debo, A.J. Brown, and Terry McLaurin?
I'm scouring the draft because I could get a really good, productive NFL-ready receiver in the first round. There may be six or seven of them. You and Lewis know that. And when you go deeper into the draft, there's more and more players because of the way college football is playing. And when you look at this graphic, take someone like Jameson Williams, but for his ACL injury, which he'll be fine, he could be the next Tyreek Hill. So why not get 5 years of cost certainty, Greeny, instead of paying these guys upwards of $25, $30 million a year? And that's taking nothing away from Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. They're great players. But give me one of these players on a rookie deal, and I could go do a lot more things for our offense or defense than spend so much money on one veteran receiver.
Well, his point is well made. Right now, behind quarterback, receivers are the highest paid players. When they do the calculation on who made, used to be the offensive tackles or the pass rushers, it is wide receivers now, Lewis. And so how about if they're on your own team? If you're Debo Samuel almost goes in a different category because he's such an important offensive weapon. He runs the ball and all of that. A.J. Brown's an unbelievable player. But are you going to pay him $30 million a year? That's really the question these teams have to answer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That is the question they need to answer. And look, the team that has drafted and or, like, in the case of Stephon Diggs, I mean, Buffalo, I misspoke earlier, Buffalo didn't draft Stephon Diggs, but they acquired him and then they signed him to an extension because they know what they have in him. They know how important he is to their roster and how important he is to their quarterback and their overall team success. So, look, armed with all that information, that firsthand information, if it makes sense to you from a salary cap planning standpoint going forward to go ahead and commit to that individual player, then, yeah, I have no problem committing to the guys who you already know. But look, to Mike's point, and I made this point earlier, you know, in the first hour as well, there's tremendous value to be had historically late in the draft, first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, in terms of getting wide receivers who come in and produce at a very, very high clip early on in their careers. And then you have the cost savings associated with having someone who you drafted and you have on a rookie contract. So, like, right now, with the way that the draft looks as far as wide receivers are concerned, look, there's going to be 14, 15 guys that I believe have the potential to have very highly productive careers, especially early on. I mean, I wouldn't be in a hurry to go ahead and acquire someone else's $20, $25 million a year player until I see what I could get in the draft and whether or not I can improve my football team and really go ahead and realize those cost savings in that way. Now, if I still felt as though that these guys were available and I hadn't addressed that position, sure. I mean, A.J. Brown has averaged over 16 yards per reception over the past 3 years. He scored 24 touchdowns. The guy's a bona fide rear-end kicker. There's no question about that. Debo, the same way. Terry McLaurin, the same way. So, yeah, would I be interested in him? Sure. But I would go ahead and let the draft play out first, simply because of what Mike alluded to and what we talked about earlier. How much cost savings you can realize drafting someone and have them under a rookie contract.
Let me make clear why those guys are in this position right now. Because they weren't first-round picks, they've all played three years, so they're going into the final year of their respective rookie contracts. The first-rounders, they get that fifth-year option, what we hear about all the time, particularly with quarterbacks. Another guy in that same exact spot is DK Metcalf. Yes. We haven't mentioned him yet.
Mm-hmm. So, he's another name that we've been hearing during this offseason about potentially getting traded. We know Seattle has started the post-Russell Wilson era. And they're in rebuild. They're never going to say that publicly. They can't say that, right? They're riding with Drew Lock right now at the quarterback position. But they have a lot of needs. We're talking the trenches, offensive line, defensive end, all over the field. They need to get better. 9 days to the draft. They picked nine. They have a lot of areas that they need to go to try to get better. And in terms of trying to get better, collecting picks could be a good start. So that could be a name we hear. In terms of possibly being on the trade block.
So if you were to analyze it, I know there's nothing reporters hate more than when I make them
hate it.
You hate it when I make you guess. but of the four, you're saying the only one you think that is likely to be moved at this point is Metcalf? Or likelier than the others?
Mike, if you were like, someone's got to get moved, right? Because I know of teams right now, like the New York Jets, they're keeping an eye on this market right now of these receivers. Even though Mike and Lewis painted a beautiful photo picture of these receivers that are in this draft, they still are keeping an eye on these receivers, knowing how talented they are. They may be willing to pay that price. So New York is watching all these teams right now. I don't know which one they're eyeing specifically, who's the one they really, really want, but DK Metcalf could be one.
I need to ask this. So the Jets, we know we're in it on Tyreek Hill to the end. Super quickly, Lewis and Mike T, just because I want to know. Should the Jets be making a move on one of these guys? At this stage of their development, their quarterback, everything else, yes or no, Lewis, should they be making a move on one of these guys?
Mm. Look, I would still wait. I would still wait to see how the draft plays out because of how deep it is. And again, the cost savings and the flexibility it could give you to have a young guy, a young rookie wide receiver, you know, under that kind of favorable contract. Now, after the draft, we'll see.
Mike T, how about you?
Yeah, I'm drafting a receiver. There's too many great ones up top. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, that should come in and be able to do what these $30 million a year receivers can do.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll see if the teams are even willing to trade them, right?
We'll find out. I mean, I want to show you one more thing, though. This got a little attention on social media yesterday. So this couple is getting married, Diana, which is lovely, on a golf course. And behind them, that's Joe Burrow, who seems not to even be aware this is happening.
Amazing.
And I don't know if this is a putting green or are they getting married on an actual green and he's, like, putting out? I don't know what's happening. But Joe Burrow seems to have no idea these people are getting married behind him. What do you make of this?
He's got the focus. We know that. Joe Cool does not care that anyone's around him. And by the way, it looks like the groom doesn't have a best man. I'd go right over to Joe Burrow right now and be like, hey, man, you could be my best friend.
I can't decide if that's a great moment or not.
I think that's awesome.
Joe Burrow standing behind you, finishing up around that. One way or another, it seemed worthy of showing. In the meantime, First Take is coming up. They were going to debate if the Warriors are now the team to beat in the West. Are the Sixers a legit threat to win the East? Molly, Stephen A., J.J. Redick, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, don't miss our next 30 for 30. It's Shark. It premieres tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. An unprecedented look into the legendary career of Greg Norman. It'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere at 10 Eastern. All right, before we go, during a commercial break, I want everyone to see just how much fun we have here behind the scenes. Get it, Diana. Let's go.
Where's she? You know what COVID did? COVID killed my dance moves. It's like I haven't been out in 20 years. I'm dancing like my mother now.
When did this happen? It's a two-step. Keep it simple. Keep it here.
Like, you know what it is? I was around all those old people on Easter, and it's like contagious.
That's Brandon, who is our stage manager that she's dancing with.
Thank God for him.
She told us that the song Diana by Paul Anka is what you were named after.
Yes.
And so I put it on. Aww. And the next thing I know, I turn around, and the two of you are over there doing, I don't know, like a foxtrot.
I used to dance with my dad to that song, and that it was a special moment. And you know what? I never really got that dance. So this was great. Brandon, thank you for helping me out and making me look good.
I think that is very nicely done.
This is a great staff that we have behind the scenes. They've got moves. They can do it all.
It's talent everywhere. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
Dancing with the Stars next.